Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's nice to see you, all of you, on this. Well, it was at my house. It was a really stormy day, really stormy night. I actually had started my exhortation a little while ago, and then with the earthquake that happened in Japan, I changed it. Because after that earthquake happened in Japan, I thought how fast that life can change kind of in an instant, and how we need to be prepared for these changes. And I thought about the people on the east coast of Japan who maybe start their day like any other day, but at 2:46 p.m., their lives changed forever. You know, that day, the fifth largest earthquake in recorded history happened right off the coast. And after the earthquake, some people had the preparedness to understand what the severity of the situation was, and they headed for high ground. But some people, maybe out of a sense of unpreparedness or maybe complacence, maybe they thought that such a large earthquake couldn't happen, and maybe they thought that such a large tsunami wouldn't happen or could not happen, and they weren't prepared, and they got caught. And they got caught in a wall of water that was up to 30 feet tall, and it surged over their sea walls, and it surged about 6 miles inland. And, a lot of them paid a heavy price. You know, but people who live in Japan, they know that they live in a seismic area. They live in what's called the Ring of Fire, which is the volcanoes and the tectonic plates that sort of surround the Pacific Ocean. And so I want to talk today about being ready and the risk of not being ready or being complacent. And so I thought I'd do that as talk about earthquakes. And so on March 11th, in the town of Minamichi Sanriku in Japan, it probably started off just like I said, as it was real normal, real everyday day, as regular as everyone before. And that day in Japan, the weather was brisk and cold. It was snowing in the morning. And it's brisk because they live right next to the sea, and it's also winter time. The winds blow right from Siberia and Russia. And that morning, mothers probably got their kids up out of bed, and they got them dressed, and they got them ready for school. You know, fathers probably got up and got ready to go to work, just another day. And down at the sea, the fishermen were out checking their oyster beds. Now, oysters and seafood, they plays a really large part of the local economy down there. But maybe earthquakes were on their minds a little bit, because just 2 days earlier, on the 9th of March, Japan suffered a 7.2 earthquake, which is a real severe earthquake in itself. And the earthquake then just rattled the houses a little bit, and it did cause minimal damage. It was farther out to sea and deeper down in the earth. And the people in Minamichi Sanriku have a tsunami warning system, and apparently, from listening to the news, that it went off really frequently, and so much so that an American woman who was teaching English there, she said that people ignored it, and it was just annoying because it just kept going off. And when the tsunami warning went off, nothing ever happened in the past. But that day, like I said, at 2:46 p.m., 110 miles off the coast of Honshu Island, and about 15 miles deep, as a result of a large thrust fault, they had a 9.0 earthquake. And that shaking was felt throughout Japan. And after that quake, they had the tsunami warning siren go off. But only less than half of the population of Minamichi Sanriku heeded the call and headed for higher ground. And 30 minutes later, that tsunami wave washed up ashore and swept inland, and it's estimated that 10,000 people lost their lives. We also live in a very seismic area. You know, on this side of the bay, right on the other side of Highway 280, we have the San Andreas Fault. And it runs the whole length of California. It's caused several major earthquakes. The 1906 quake in the fire, because of the damage to the plumbing system, it caused much of San Francisco to burn down and caused many thousands of deaths. And up in Marin County, where I've been before, the ground shifted real forcefully, and it shifted a fence 12 feet separation between it. And it's a really neat walk to go see when you go up to Point Reyes. We had our 1989 earthquake, if you were around for that. And that caused part of a freeway to collapse. It caused part of the Bay Bridge to collapse. It caused damage and loss of life from Santa Cruz, where some old brick buildings collapsed, up to San Francisco. But on the other side of the bay, we have the Hayward Fault. And it really hasn't had a major seismic event in many, 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 many years. And it's considered to be the more dangerous of the two. And when it releases its stress and erupts, it has the potential to cause damage in the billions of dollars and really affect hundreds of thousands of people. But we also have other faults that run through the Bay Area. Down in Cupertino, there's the Monte Vista Fault, which is a minor fault. It could cause minimal damage. But there's other faults around that maybe we just don't know about. And the things about earthquakes we have to remember is that we don't know when they're going to strike. And we know that they're going to strike, but we just don't know when. And that means you have to be ready right now for a quake that could happen today. It could happen next week. It could happen next month. Or several years from now. And the key to surviving an earthquake and the resulting aftermath is just to be ready for them. When that quake happened in 1989, my family wasn't ready for it. The power, I lived in Cupertino at the time, the power went out for a couple days. We didn't have any water set aside. We didn't have really any food set aside. The fridge was off for a couple days, like I said, and food spoiled. If we need to leave town for some reason, well, my mom's car and my brother's car were both out of gas. They were both on E, and they just happened to be that way. And we would have been unable to leave. We weren't prepared for that, but I think we were fortunate because our house just rattled around a little bit when we were just out of power. A lot of other people suffered greater. If you remember the city of Los Gatos, where houses were blown off their foundations and destroyed. And if we wanted to leave, we wouldn't have been able to. And since then, I remember, you know, it's we need to be prepared for earthquake. And after the earthquake, when I moved out with my family, I had an earthquake kit ready to go. I had water in the garage. I had food set aside. I had camping equipment ready to go, and I had fuel for my stove. But nothing's happened for a long time. We really haven't had a major quake in this area since 1989. And the water that I'd set aside in plastic containers broke, and it all just drained out on the garage floor. I didn't replace it. The food I'd set aside went bad because I didn't replace it, I didn't upkeep it. The fuel I had for my camping stove I used on camping trips and didn't replace it. So I have a stove in my garage, but I don't have any fuel for it right now. So if I had a major earthquake happen at my house, I wouldn't be ready for it. And is it ignorance on my part? Maybe. Is it complacency? Probably. And do you think that the people in Minamitsu San Rico felt the same? You know, What might happen right now if there was an earthquake and we hadn't prepared for it? What could our results be? I mean, could it be maybe just a little shaken up before, or maybe could it be something as deadly and terrible as what happened in Japan? Is it worth taking the risk? So the point of that story is really you have to be ready for events. You know, if you live in earthquake country, be ready for an earthquake. If you live in tornado country, be ready for the possibility of a tornado. You should have food and water set aside, have your equipment organized and ready to go, so you might have to leave your house. We don't know when an earthquake's going to hit, but we know it will. You know, it could come right now, it could come tomorrow, or not for a long, long time. And so what would happen if Jesus were to return? You know, it could happen right now. It could happen tomorrow or not for a long time. Would we be ready? Are we being complacent because he hasn't returned yet and maybe he's maybe not going to happen for a long, long while? Can you be prepared for the future? What happens if you're wrong? And so let's look at some scripture and just about being ready, and let's read it. And so turn to Luke chapter 12. We'll read verses 35 to 38. It says, "Be prepared and ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. So when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night." So that's really late in at night or early morning. And so, like being ready for an earthquake, we should always be ready for our Lord to return. This means we should be keeping our spiritual readiness for that day when he starts his kingdom. And that time, like I said, it could be right now, it could be next week, it could be next year. And Jesus expects that we are ready and prepared and waiting with our lamps burning for his return. And every day we should be living our lives as if today is the day that Jesus comes. And do so, and then when that day that he does come, our master will find us ready and dressed for service. And we know that it's our choice to be ready or not for the return of our Lord. There are rewards for those who remain vigilant, but there's consequences for those who don't. Reading further from chapter 12 at verse 45, it says, "But suppose a servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and then he begins to beat the manservants and the maidservants to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him the place with the unbelievers." So how do you think of yourselves, or how do we think of ourselves? You know, are you or I, are we eagerly awaiting and ready for Jesus? Or do you think that we could be the servants who sometimes just gets tired of waiting and gets caught unaware? We read that if we are ready to serve, then Jesus will invite us to recline at the table. But if he catches us not ready, he will place us with the unbelievers. And that means you won't have a place in his kingdom. And is that a risk you're willing to take? You know, is that being complacent or being ignorant? The parable of the 10 virgins kind of continues this thought. It says, look at Matthew 25. It reads, "At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps but not bring any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil and jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep." And then at midnight, a cry rang out, "Here comes the bridegroom, come out and meet him." But then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "And no," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they're on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "let us open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And so this parable tells us that we always need to be ready. You know, we want to be like the five wise virgins who ensured their lanterns had oil and were able to join the bridegroom at the wedding banquet. We don't want to be like the foolish virgins who had to run around finding oil and get locked out of the wedding banquet. It's not like checking your earthquake kit when the time comes and have all the supplies spoiled. So you're not going to be able to go out after the earthquake and buy the purchases you need to replace everything. It's going to be too late. You know, you need to check what you have very regularly and keep it up to date and fresh so that you know it's ready when the time comes. And this is a trap that it's really easy to fall into. In Luke 12, verses 39 and 40 say, But understand this. If the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. And it's hard to stay at attention by the door watching, and because sometimes we just get tired, and then we find ourselves sort of sitting on the couch, kind of glancing occasionally out the window and seeing if the Lord's coming. And because we think, well, Jesus didn't come today, and didn't come yesterday, and didn't come today. Well, chances are he may not come tomorrow, you know. And I'm guilty of this complacency, and it's a really dangerous way of thinking. It's not like having not having food and water and emergency equipment organized and ready to go. You know, what we all know that earthquakes destroy, and we all know that Jesus saves. But the point of the same of this exhortation is be ready and be prepared. And so, and just in conclusion, I just want to ask you, you know, are you ready for the return of our Lord and Master? Are you dressed and ready for service? Or are you like the five foolish virgins and will be caught unprepared? Now, as we prepare for our memorials today, think about what we talked about. Just like we must be prepared for an earthquake that we know is coming, we should also be spiritually ready for the return of our Lord. Don't get caught unprepared. And I'm going to leave you with a quote from Jesus that serves to me as a strong encouragement and maybe a little bit of a warning. And that quote is, "Behold, I'm coming soon." Thank you.